T-minus 36. RMXT Studio Number 1, Manhattan, New York. "Share, Billy," Timo prodded. "Whatever you thought of when he just said that the outside air of New Kerguelen is probably fine, we all need to know." Billy slowly shook his head. "They said it's not confirmed, and you said the crew will be back for good real soon. Right, guys? We don't know yet. Until we do, I don't want to speculate."
"Tell us," Clark said more insistently than Timo.
"There's not one giant idea in my head," Billy said almost convincingly. "And with everything that definitely has been happening, I'm not going to drive myself crazy trying to make sense of something that might not even be true. It's certainly better to have it in mind, though, so I know what not to say. So thank you, both of you."
"And there's something we want to share with you two," Timo said, making a point of looking squarely at Godfrey. "We have close-up footage from Dortlu Tepe. I now see no benefit and several risks of showing it during the show, which admittedly was something we considered as a hypothetical emergency stop kind of op."
"Smart," Godfrey said with a firm nod. "Both parts, the emergency stop idea, if Geller had gotten out of hand, and realizing that it wouldn't help now."
"I definitely still want to see it, though," Clark said. "Can I?"
Timo and Billy both confirmed at once that he could. "My computer is in our dressing room," Billy said. "The footage is in my pocket, obviously, but we need something to play it on. I'll go and get it."
"I'm leaving before showtime gets too close," Godfrey very suddenly announced. "Once the media is outside for Geller and Crab arriving, I'll never get away unseen."
"Why do you need to get away at all?" Clark asked.
Godfrey looked at his watch, exaggerating the movement of pulling up his sleeve. "I can't be holed up for this long. Gentlemen, please know that I appreciate the offer to share the footage, and Timo, all being well, will be opening the doors in Buenos Aires next week. I'll save a space for a Fiori Frontieri delegation. Is the young chap still around? Alessandro?"
"He is," Timo said, tactfully ignoring everything else for fear it was some kind of trick, because as much as Godfrey did seem to have changed, like Clark, typically an excellent judge of character, had first insisted, at the end of the day, he was still William Godfrey.
"Excellent, let him know. And Billy, while you're fetching that laptop, could you keep an eye out for the man who escorted you here? I'll need him to lead me out discreetly."
Billy nodded and set off on his very short walk, as surprised as the others by Godfrey's departure, but not caring enough to push for further explanation. Clark did, however, before Billy had even gotten out of the door.
"At any point, I could need to make a strategic statement," Godfrey explained, "and I certainly can't do that from here. A video in a hotel room could be filmed in Buenos Aires for all the world knows, but someone would recognize something in here, and then the cat would be out of the bag."
"What kind of statement are you expecting to need to make?" Timo pressed.
"None," Godfrey said. "But if Leisha was to show up again for any reason, or if the crew on New Kerguelen were to show up, I really don't expect the timing to be so inconvenient, but it's not impossible, and it's going to be hours until you're all out of here. In the meantime, just don't get too caught up in this Dortlu Tepe business, will you? In a matter of weeks, we could be digging outside on New Kerguelen and working with the messengers to revive their elders. That's the golden prize here, reopening the ultimate book of knowledge that guided the messengers for so long. Trinkets and carvings are nothing compared to what we could learn. I know that nothing I can say will ever stop Billy from scrambling around in the dirt, but our focus is on the skies. It has to be."
Not 2 minutes later, Godfrey was gone and a laptop had taken his place. Billy wasted no time in navigating to the footage, pausing right away on the headline image of the tall, long-skulled alien striking a remarkably familiar pose with a cable connecting it to a human contactee. Even though Clark had known what was coming following the description Timo gave over the phone, in turn, gleaned through the Turkish-language phone call he received during Billy's incarceration, nothing could have prepared him for the impact of actually seeing it.
"That definitely isn't one of the messengers," Clark said. "But holy shit, if that thing was the right height and its head was the right shape, that would look like a drawing of Dan at the drive-in on contact day. It's the exact same kind of cable, and it's going right into the guy's neck.
Precisely, Billy said. This is the kind of thing I wanted to talk about today before everything happened with Leisha, but this shelter news has got me worried about saying too much in case it's wrong. Because if these other aliens gave the messengers their uplift powers, which aren't inherited, why did they get the uplifter and we didn't?
It's a good question, Timo mused.
It gets better, Billy said. And Clark, this is where you have to make sure you don't say too much. But what if they did give humanity a similar device and a million other things we can't even imagine? And what if it's all buried between the pillars of Dortlu Tepe? If we were visited by the same third race, we too could have access to all kinds of abilities, abilities we can turn on and off like a switch, just like the messengers can. They gave theirs to Dan and Terra for a while, but what if it's not the same? What if there was another device made for humans, attuned to our brain chemistry? Or what if this third race gave the messengers knowledge of interstellar travel? And what if they gave it to us?
Clark's face reflected the weight of one particular thing Billy mentioned, one that didn't strike Billy as anything close to the most remarkable point as he said it. But Clark, knowing only too well that Piper's unwelcome abilities were the whole reason he was here, hadn't even heard Billy's final idea about interstellar travel. His mind, instead, was utterly transfixed by the possibility that humanity really might have been given an uplifter similar to the messengers, and that it really might be lying only a few meters out of sight at Dortlu Tepe.
I'm thinking out loud, Timo chimed in. But Billy, what shape did Dan and Terra report the elders were?
Pillars, Billy replied right away, not quite seeing the relevance. But they weren't marked on the outside.
Timo shrugged. At least not in a way their eyes could discern, but I'm not suggesting anything in particular, at least not beyond the noticeable commonality that ancient humans recorded their encounters with visiting aliens on stone pillars. Meanwhile, light years away, different aliens who still use an interspecies communication method remarkably similar to the kind on our ancient pillars, well, their ancient forefathers seem to have recorded a whole host of remarkable knowledge within their pillar-shaped computer-like devices. There might be something to it, is all I'm saying.
Clark scratched his temple in deep thought.
Why did we have to get into all of this new stuff and put it all in each other's heads right before we go on live TV to deal with the problems and questions we're actually facing right now?
I see your point, Billy chuckled. Crab is a wild card, but it's really going to be the three of us and Emma against Jan. So I don't know. Maybe it was all just starting to feel too easy.